Welcome to this very special bonus episode of In the Field. We make In the Field to introduce you to the people trying to solve hard social problems, to their ideas and practices, and to the conversations that sometimes get stuck inside the social sector's conference rooms. And we go through an exhaustive process to identify the stories and themes that we plan for each series. Because there are so many interesting things being worked on, and so many exciting organizations and people to speak to. But some topics are better presented by the people who work on them. And this is why, in Series 2, In the Field will feature bonus episodes that talk about specific themes in development, featuring the work of specific organizations and the issues they are driven by. We hope these bonus episodes will give listeners a way to learn about the most exciting, impactful work being done by committed organizations. This episode is brought to you by Indus Action, an organization working on a very specific tenet of the Right to Education Act. They're trying to improve the way affirmative action is implemented in India's private schools.
देखिए अगर शिक्षित बच्चे आज बच्चे शिक्षित हैं तो हमारा हमारा समाज शिक्षित होगा समाज शिक्षित होगा तो आगे हमारा भविष्य भी तरक्की करेगा क्योंकि अगर हम आज वर्तमान में अपने बच्चों को नहीं शिक्षा देंगे तो वो भविष्य में भी नहीं पढ़ेंगे भविष्य में भी वो इस चीज की वैल्यू नहीं समझेंगे
Education has been an important building block of independent India. It is supposed to be the grand leveler in an unequal society. But it took years of hard work from organizations, activists, and even the state to make education a fundamental right. In 2009, the Right to Education Act was introduced as the 86th Amendment to the Indian Constitution.
With that stroke of law, we made education a fundamental right and justiciable, which means that if these conditions are not being met, a citizen, a child, or a parent could kind of take recourse in courts to hold the government accountable.
It is now incumbent on the state to ensure that every child between 6 and 14 receives free and compulsory education and no barrier, whether it's documentation or geography or social status, holds a child back.
I'm Tarun, founder and CEO of Indus Action, where our mission is to enable the access to rights for disadvantaged families in India.
Research shows that the majority of Indian children have a learning gap of around 4.5 years, in spite of being in school for 10 years. And according to the World Bank's Human Capital Index, Indian children achieve only 44% of their productive potential.
These numbers are highly dependent on your identity, which caste you're born into, what is your gender, whether you're born rural or urban, or your religion as well, further aggravates the disadvantage a particular child can have in terms of realizing their full potential.
Every year, around 20 million children enter the schooling system, and only 8 million of them are able to choose where they go.
If you have these 12 million children growing up to only realizing about 40-45% of their productive potential, you're going to have working adults who will walk into, say, the workforce, not being kind of either able to realize the potential of the economy or kind of fully play the role of an active citizen. So on both counts of what education is supposed to deliver, we are kind of doing a great disservice and we have a huge scope for unfulfilled potential. And that's where kind of this kind of policy hopes to kind of make a reversal in terms of the current status quo.
One of the sticking points of the Act was a revolutionary clause, which said that even private schools that are unaided by the government have a social responsibility to ensure that their classrooms are diverse. The Act mandates that 25% of seats in the entry-level year, kindergarten or first grade, be reserved for economically or socially weaker sections of society and disadvantaged groups. This is Article 12.1c of the RTE. And throughout this episode, you'll hear from the workers at the forefront trying to help families avail of this right.
EWS kya hai?
Ye EWS ke tahat ye sarkar ki taraf se ek private schoolon ke liye hai ki bhai 25% bachchon ke liye reserve hai seatein jisme ki hum SC ST ya reserve ya OBC wagera ke aate hain isme.
Unko ye batana EWS form nikalte hain तो वो गरीब बच्चों के लिए या फिर जो इसमें ओबीसी एससी एसटी में आते हैं या विकलांग हैं अनाथ हैं या जेंडर चेंज है जिन्हें हमारे समाज में मतलब हमारे बराबर नहीं खड़ा होने दिया जाता इस तरह के लोगों के लिए फॉर्म निकलते हैं जिससे अगर एक लॉटरी सिस्टम है जिससे अगर लॉटरी में नंबर आ जाए आप फॉर्म भर दें तो आपका बच्चा आठवीं तक कक्षा तक बिल्कुल फ्री पढ़ेगा
So the state defined a particular benchmark. So everybody with a lakh and less income per annum, and if you belong to SC, ST, non-creamy layer OBC, and if you are a child with special needs or a transgender or HIV affected, these are all the categories that the state defined, so basically to abide by the constitutional value of equality and fraternity. Once again, a great policy on paper. It kind of tries to imagine a classroom where like Eklavya and Arjun can study in the same classroom in a modern day India. And a lot of academic evidence points to it being beneficial for both groups of children, the economically advantaged and the economically disadvantaged.
So the problem with all of these rights is that these are mandated by the central government, but the implementation happens at the state level, right? And at the state level, there is a lot of dilution that happens by the time it gets to the individual. So it becomes very person independent.
That's Geeta Dang, a board member of Indus Action and a passionate advocate for inclusive education.
So we face a lot of resistance at a private school level because some of the details of how much the private schools will be reimbursed, so it leaves a lot for the state government and the civil society to bridge the gap between kind of the intent of the law and the way it needs to translate in actual practice.
But the challenge really is, how do you do this at an India scale, where every year you have 20 lakh children who can potentially be benefited by this law, but it does not translate into reality for all these 20 lakh children?
So, intersection kya hai?
Intersection bhi ek... इंटरसेक्शन के बारे में मुझे स्कूल में एसएनसी के जो सोशल वर्कर हैं उन लोगों से पता लगा।
अच्छा, तो आप अभी तक कितने रजिस्टर कर चुके हैं?
मैंने अभी तक 100 या 110 कर चुकी हूँ, 110 से 100 के आसपास में रजिस्ट्रेशन कर चुकी हूँ।
So imagine you get 8 to 10 years of free education in a school of your choice in the neighborhood where you live, and we would assume that every parent would know this. But in reality, very, very few eligible families are actually aware of the policy. Imagine then the admission process for a parent. With little or no information, and most parents struggle to understand government notifications, to ensure good odds for their child, they would probably have to apply to 5 or 6 schools. This means physically visiting each private school, which can be quite daunting for a parent from a disadvantaged community. First, you have to get past the security guard. And then once you make it past the gate, you have to get an application form, which is probably in English. And then you'd probably have to find someone to help you navigate the admission halls. And then you would have to do this all over again to submit the form.
And even after that, it was kind of conditional lottery. Which were not open and transparent. The lottery dates were not declared. You weren't informed by phone. So you had to visit the school very often and look out for the notice board as to when this lottery would happen. In case you were very diligent and did land up for the lottery, there were the odds that you would probably not get the lottery, and the lottery was probably rigged as well.
Indus Action is a young, spirited organization, and everyone comes with either first-hand teaching or government experience. They're either Teach for India alumni or have been PMRDF or Gandhi Fellows, and nearly everyone is under 30 years old. And they have a very nimble approach. They run large awareness campaigns that target communities actively seeking seats to private schools. They work in 18 states, and their partnership model varies from working with early stage entrepreneurial organizations interested in policy implementation to working directly offering tech support to state governments to ensure that the rights are actually extended to the population. In 5 states, they have MOUs with the government, such as in Delhi, where Shiksha Sahyogis, the frontline workers whom you've heard through the show, to everything from making door-to-door visits to running a calling bank to help admission seekers navigate this process. Indus Action relies very much on data, and 2 years into working with communities, their data showed that in the existing system, the odds were really stacked against these parents. There was only a 5% success rate. And taking the process online, they realized, would make it fairer, more transparent, and more equitable.
As an example, in Delhi, when we moved the process online from 2015-16 admission cycle, a parent on average was applying to about 20 schools. So the choice by virtue of just going from offline to online increased by an order of 7.
We know that technology can help solve many of the problems of murky bureaucratic processes. By working with the state to streamline all these procedural aspects, Indus Action helps the state handle the large number of parents applying for admissions, many of whom are motivated to do so thanks to the dedicated Shiksha Sahyogis on the ground.
So irrespective of what the bias at an application level is, the seats are distributed equitably on a gender split. Likewise, we realize that children with special needs do not apply up to a percentage of 3%, which is once again a mandate according to Right to Education Act.
Another big issue they flag is reimbursements. States are required to reimburse or subsidize the cost of every RTE admission. But the reality is that schools grapple with late reimbursements, slow reimbursements, or even no reimbursements.
There are many states where schools are still expecting kind of reimbursements after 2 to 3 years of having admitted a child. So this clearly kind of leads to a lot of resentment and rightfully so among lots of schools, especially schools which heavily dependent on this reimbursement to manage their cash flows.
And according to Indus Action's research, nearly 80% of private schools meant to comply are yet to participate in the admission process nationally. And across India, only around a fifth of the available seats are getting filled. But there are states that have managed to crack this. The hardest part of this work is to change the attitudes towards children admitted under RTE. The culture of a school matters a lot to the outcome of a child's education. Which child, constantly forced to be labeled by their status, would look forward to school?
It's very likely that the child will probably be segregated either within the classroom or outside the classroom. So initially there were efforts to segregate EWS or 25% children into separate classrooms. The court had to once again intervene and kind of give direction saying that that is not permissible. And then schools, some of the schools resorted to kind of segregating children within the classroom in terms of which benches they sat on, which rows they sat on, what kind of uniform they had, where they sat in the lunch breaks, what opportunities they had on the playground. And it's very likely then in the first couple of years, the child is going to drop out if he or she is going to face such exclusive behavior from, say, the school leadership.
Indus Action uses data to understand what happens to children once they're in school, especially to learn more about retention and dropout rates. And this is where the system needs the most energy and effort.
I'll use the same metaphor of kind of building a bridge. Like they say, it takes a kind of village to raise a child. I would say like it kind of takes everybody in the society to kind of build this bridge.
ये कि उसका विकास हो सके अगर मान लिया हम एक एक इंसान कितने जनों को अवेयरनेस लाएगा तो ज्यादा मेंबर हमारे साथ जुड़ेंगे तो वो ज्यादा को नॉलेज दे सकेंगे कि यहाँ पे ये नियम चल रहे हैं ये रूल चल रहे हैं सरकार हमें ये फायदे दे रही है तो हम क्यों ना उसका फायदा उठाएं
आपका सपना क्या है
मेरा सपना तो यही है कि अच्छे से अच्छा जितना हो सके मैं सबको अच्छे से अच्छा जितनी नॉलेज है मैं दूं और मैं खुद भी नॉलेज करूं
This episode is sponsored by Indus Action. For more information about their work on rights-based issues in India and opportunities for engagement, write to info@indusaction.org. Script and editing by Radhika Vishwanathan and Samyukta Varma, and sound production by Santosh Nataraja at the Third Eye Studio. Theme music by Hollis Coates. I'm Radhika Vishwanathan. Thank you for listening and stay tuned for our next In the Field episode coming very soon.